Good morning. Happy Independence Day late. It's so nice to see so many of you here. We had a small crowd at Sunday school, and we were concerned that maybe everybody had taken off and gone on a vacation trip today. But so glad to have you here. This is Ephesus Baptist Church, God's house. It's the house He provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. We're so grateful for the freedoms that we have because of God, because He was here with us from the beginning, and because our nation was founded upon Christian principles. And we're also grateful for those men and women who served in our armed forces and who helped preserve the freedoms that we have. Happy birthday, America. You were 233 years old yesterday. 233 years is a long time for a nation to remain free. Yet when you consider the long historical view of the world, you are just a child among nations. Egypt, China, Japan, Rome, and Greece are much older than you and have much longer histories, a great portion of which were not free. Happy birthday, America. Even though you have a short history, God has richly blessed you. Your natural resources are still the greatest of all nations. Happy birthday, America. You have a rich spiritual history. My country, 'tis of thee, which we sang as our offertory hymn, was written by Samuel Francis Smith, a Baptist minister. The Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1892 by Francis Bellamy, a Baptist minister. The words, "In God we trust," are traced to the efforts of Reverend W.R. Watkinson. Reverend John Witherspoon, a Presbyterian minister, was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Happy birthday, America. When you were young, the famous French political philosopher Alexis de Tocqueville visited your shores to learn the secret which allowed a small band of people to defeat the mighty British Empire. He traveled across your vast land from shore to shore, looking for greatness in your rivers and your harbors, your fertile fields and boundless forest. He studied your schools, your military, your Congress, your Constitution, but he still could not determine the secret. It was not until he entered your churches and heard your pulpits aflame with righteousness that he found the answer. And when he returned to Europe, he wrote this warning: America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Happy birthday, America. You are great because you are still the most generous of all nations, giving untold billions in aid to third world countries, sending missionaries to feed the hungry and starving souls of our world. You are great because you allow your citizens the freedom to choose whom and where they worship. Happy birthday, America, the noble lady in New York Harbor stands proudly with her flame lifted up for all to see, and she still inspires those of us who were even born here. Happy birthday, America. Your flag waves proudly in the free air, a symbol of all that makes you great. Happy birthday, America. Your coins still carry the motto, In God we trust. And may we learn to transfer this motto from your coins to our hearts. I believe no nation on earth will long endure which does not depend on God. How can we transfer this motto from our coins into our hearts? And I think the answer lies in our text today, which is Psalm 33, verses 18 through 22. And I shall read portions of it as I proceed with the message. And may God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. There are three principles contained in our text which we would do well to follow if we are to survive as a free people blessed by God. And the first principle is reverence for God. If you look at the first part of verse 18, but the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear Him. In other words, God is watching for those who hold Him in awe, who hold Him in respect and revere Him and see Him as the Holy One. You know, the word fear means to tremble. That's how it's translated in God's Word, to tremble, and there is used in connection with three experiences. To tremble with the thought of being punished by a holy God for sin. To tremble at the mighty acts of God. And to tremble with joy at the knowledge that people are being saved and will have eternal life. And our nation desperately needs more respect and more reverence for God. Today in America, we have crossed the line from mere disrespect to outright blasphemy, in my opinion. God's holiness is mocked. You can turn on television almost any day and see comedy routines where people pack the venues to hear these comedians, and more often than not, a part of their routine mocks God and makes fun of religion and mocks Jesus. There are movies and plays which depict Jesus as a homosexual. Even at churches are sometimes filled with irreverence for God. How many of you know that Native Americans never swore or took oaths to the name of God or took God's name in vain until the Europeans taught them how? Their language had no such words to blaspheme the Lord. But yet the French and the English taught them to swear and to curse in God's name. The Hebrews were so in awe of God, they would not even pronounce His name. But in our culture, it's all too common to take God's name in vain. How often do we hear, "Oh my God," used by pagans and Christians as a throwaway phrase in our society? If reverence to God is to return to our nation, we, God's people, must have it start with us. We must take the lead. A second principle found in our text, which will help us internalize our motto, "In God We Trust," is dependence upon God's power. Look at verse 21. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. America needs to remember Hezekiah's position and prayer. You may recall that God's people were under siege by the Assyrians, who had already seized most all of the fortified cities of Judah, and they were pressing hard against Jerusalem, the capital city. And every day, one of Sennacherib's generals would stand outside the city and he would hurl insults towards Hezekiah, towards God, and toward God's people. And when King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and covered himself with ashes. And such acts were to signs of his heart-rending grief and his humility before God. And he went to prayer in God, and it's recorded in 2 Kings 19, 15 through 19. It's a lovely prayer. You need to read it. But at the very beginning of his prayer, he praised God and told him how awesome he was and how powerful he was. And then he asked for what he wanted, and that was protection for the people. What a marvelous sight. Here's Satan, here's the devil beaten on the doors of the city of Jerusalem, and Hezekiah goes to God in prayer and praises him and recounts his awesome powers and then asks him for help. And he sent for the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah did, and he wanted to know, he said, "Have you heard a word from God?" And Isaiah certainly had. And he told Hezekiah, said, God says, he told Hezekiah's messengers, said, "Go back and tell your master that God said, don't worry about these insults being hurled." He said, he's going to receive a report that's going to distract him, and then he will be killed by the sword. And sure enough, shortly, Sennacherib mysteriously received word that Babylon was in rebellion. So he left the siege of Jerusalem and started traveling back home. And he abandoned his army. And God was not finished with him. Nobody blasphemes Almighty God for long and gets away with it, friends. And Isaiah chapter 37 tells us that the angel of the Lord visited the camp of the army that Hezekiah had left there and killed 185,000 of the men. And Hezekiah went back to Babylon, a broken and defeated man who was killed by his own sons. Hezekiah and his people won a great victory because they depended on God. And hopefully America will do the same. Unfortunately, we see that such is not the case in many instances with our leaders, with those who make decisions which affect us on a day-to-day basis. But we have two formidable enemies that we are fighting. External and one is internal. External, we have many enemies: Iraq, Iran, North Korea, Afghanistan, the Taliban. All of these we are fighting. And internally, we are fighting the devil here in America. America is slowly eroding. Its natural righteousness is being chipped away daily by the devil. The United States is number one in the world in crime, in divorce, in teen pregnancies among industrial world countries, in abortions, and illegal use of drugs. We need to look beyond science and technology for help. We need to pray for a turning God by the people of this country, a spiritual awakening. We need to stop grasping for unstable objects and anchor ourselves to God, because He has our very destiny in His hands. The third principle I wish to share is found in verses 18, 20, and 22 of our text. And these verses urge us to have hope in God's unfailing love. So we need reverence for God. We need to depend upon God's power. And we need to have hope in His love. Verse 18 tells us, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. Verse 20, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and shield. And verse 22, may Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. You know, the word hope means to carry one's cares on another, to cast one's cares on another. In this instance, it means we should throw all of our worries, our fears, our concerns upon God and His unfailing love. Many of our nation's problems can be traced to a lack of hope. Many socioeconomic depressed people turn to crime because they see no hope out of the poverty and squalor in which they live. Many depressed people turn to suicide, alcohol, drugs, because they don't feel as there's someone that they can turn to, that they can have hope in to help them. But the Bible is a book of hope. The gospel means good news. Hope is the oxygen of the soul. It is the object. Its object is the Lord and His love. Happy birthday, America. May your 340,000 plus churches continue to offer hope and salvation to the lost and downtrodden. May they serve as moral and spiritual oases in a desert of unrighteousness. Happy birthday, America. May your citizens forsake their independent spirit enough to look to the Lord God Almighty for inner freedom that only He can give. Happy birthday, America. May the motto found on your coins, "In God We Trust," be forever emblazoned on the hearts and minds of your people. And if there are those of you here today who don't know the freedom that God gives, in addition to the freedom you enjoy just as an American citizen, we invite you to learn about that, to accept the gift that He has. God gives us freedom from the penalty of sin if we but accept His Son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we invite you to do that, to come forward, confess your sins, and accept Him and receive eternal life.